The Little Book of Lent offers a surprising perspective on a season often associated with somber reflection. Brother Alois sets the tone by emphasizing that Lent isn't about wallowing in guilt, but rediscovering joy and forgiveness. Turn toward God rather than turning inward on yourself, he advises, inviting us to see the desert not as punishment, but renewal. This transforms how we might approach these 40 days. Rather than focusing on what we give up, we're encouraged to look at what we gain, deeper connection with the divine and with others. The Lenten desert offers a counterpoint to our notification-saturated lives, a space where silence speaks and simplicity reveals what truly matters. When we step back from the noise, we create room for joy to emerge, not from external stimulation, but from an inner wellspring of peace. Lent is communal as well as personal. Share with one another, Brother Alois suggests, highlighting that spiritual growth happens in relationship. What if we approached this season not as a solitary trek through wilderness, but as a shared journey where we support one another? This reframing of Lent as a season of joy, community, and renewal offers a refreshing alternative to austere interpretations. The image of Jesus as Good Shepherd addresses our need for guidance while challenging us to serve others with Christ's dedication. When Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my sheep," he establishes ministry rooted in grace rather than obligation, focused on love expressed through service, not power or prestige. True discipleship may be measured more by how we care for others than by theological knowledge. This shepherd-disciple relationship transforms us from followers into active participants in Christ's restoration work. Though this path may lead to suffering, self-giving love brings profound joy. Those who give most generously often radiate a contentment that self-focused people rarely find. Are we following Jesus for personal gain, or are we willing to embrace the full journey with its demands? The shepherd imagery reassures us we're never alone, guided by one who knows every step and carries us when we falter. Isaiah's temple vision, complete with seraphim and overwhelming divine holiness, leads to profound awareness of his unworthiness. Yet this recognition becomes the foundation of his ministry. "Here am I, send me." These five words embody spiritual awakening, moving from encounter to response. Isaiah doesn't try to make himself worthy first or request preparation time. The encounter with divine holiness itself transforms him, and his response flows naturally. This challenges our tendency to postpone commitment until we feel ready, suggesting readiness comes from divine encounter, not self-improvement. The connection between spirituality and public engagement is provocative. What if spiritual awakening necessarily leads to engagement with social and political realities? St. Columba's prayer captures this essence. "Be thou a bright flame before me. Be thou a guiding star above me." The calling isn't a one-time event, but the beginning of a journey where divine presence remains essential. Christian life finds its fullest expression in community, not isolation. Jesus sending disciples in pairs reflects this truth. We are designed to journey together. This pairing wasn't merely practical but theological, showing how faith flourishes in relationship. This contrasts with our culture's emphasis on individualism, where we celebrate self-made people and view dependence as weakness. Yet the biblical pattern consistently shows people called into community, supporting one another. When Jesus calls his first disciples, he invites them into a collective enterprise. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," a plural invitation establishing community from the beginning. Approaching spiritual life communally offers shared wisdom, mutual accountability, and comfort in knowing we're not alone. The Lenten journey becomes richer when walked alongside others who provide perspective and encouragement. This communal emphasis doesn't diminish personal responsibility, but places our individual journeys within a larger story. We're not isolated pilgrims, but part of a caravan moving through history. Shifting from my faith journey to our faith journey can be profoundly liberating. True Christian action flows from encountering God's infinite love, not from duty or guilt. Our capacity to love others depends on receiving divine love first, like a reservoir that must fill before overflowing. Jesus models this perfectly. His ministry emerged from intimate connection with the Father. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, establishing a flow of love from God through us to others. This challenges our tendency to exhaust ourselves in service without spiritual nourishment. Burnout often stems from neglecting the source of sustaining love. Abide in my love means actively cultivating relationship with Christ, like tending a garden that naturally produces fruit when properly nourished. Prioritizing God's love creates sustainability in service, authenticity in relationships, and joy in giving. The inexhaustible nature of divine love means we never need fear depletion. There's always more available than we could possibly express. In our rush toward the future or rumination on the past, we often miss the most sacred reality, God's presence in this very moment. The sacrament of the present moment offers each instant as a unique opportunity for divine encounter. Our minds constantly wander, thinking about tomorrow's meeting while with our children, scrolling through social media during conversations, mentally rehearsing responses instead of listening. This fragmentation diminishes both human connections and our ability to recognize God's presence. Time consists of a series of nows, each holding potential for communion with the divine. When we inhabit the present moment fully, we discover it's the only place where we can actually meet God. The past exists only in memory, the future only in imagination, but this moment is where divine reality can be experienced. Simple practices help us become more present. Awareness of breath, noticing bodily sensations, or giving full attention to others. These aren't esoteric techniques, but basic human capacities we've forgotten in our distracted age. The sacrament of the present moment transforms ordinary time into holy encounter. Conversations become communion, meals become Eucharistic, walks become pilgrimage. This shift doesn't require changing our activities, but our awareness, recognizing that God is fully available right here, right now. Mary's anointing of Jesus with expensive perfume, pouring out a year's wages in one gesture, challenges our calculated approach to love. Her act asserts that value stems from love, not utility, confronting our efficiency-obsessed culture that evaluates actions by outcomes and investments by returns. Mary's gesture defies such calculation, its worth lying in what it expresses, love beyond measurement. Jesus's defense of Mary, "The poor you will always have with you," doesn't dismiss concern for poverty, but affirms both practical service and symbolic devotion as essential expressions of love. Have our expressions of love become too measured? Perhaps loving with Mary's extravagance means giving time we can't afford, offering undeserved forgiveness, or expressing devotion that seems impractical. Like the fragrance that filled the house, acts of extravagant love permeate beyond their immediate context, creating an atmosphere where grace lingers.